coming in, but we think we're going to go ahead and start if that's okay with you guys.
So much, choir. God is the God of all miracles, is he not? All of us sitting here today that have been redeemed by his precious blood of his son Jesus, he's worked a miracle in us. He's still doing those today, folks, in the lives of people. And we're so thankful today that we could gather together on a beautiful spring day to give him glory and honor that he so richly deserves. I welcome you in Jesus' name to our services here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Let's stand this morning if you're able. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer for just a few moments, and then we're going to join in our voices in song of praise, and we'll proceed today with this day of worship and showing our love and adoration for the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, thanks once again for this opportunity and this privilege to be called your child. And I thank you today, Lord, that you have allowed many folks to come through the doors. We never take liberty to, though, today, Lord, to think that everyone here may be saved. We don't know that. Only you and that person do. But we know this, Lord, that the offer today of your salvation still exists to all who will receive it, and your love never fails toward mankind. Help us, Lord, to be attuned to you and your word today, because we know, Lord, in days gone by, you judged this earth by water, and you gave the people warning. But people didn't listen, Lord. And people didn't believe it. Today, Lord, we face fire as far as the earth being destroyed again by fire. But we also today, if we refuse your warning, we face the fire of the judgment of hell eternally. So, Lord, open our lives and our minds and our hearts today to your word. Help us to love one another, Lord, as you've commanded us, all people. And yet, Lord, help us to hate sin and everything that has to do with that. But we're thankful today, Lord, that you yet prevail on the throne. And we know, Lord, today that mankind is a needy species. And we need you, Lord. And we realize, too, that we live here in our communities where our homes are that are filled with needy people. We pray for the community of Fruitland, first of all, who are our direct neighbors, but also to the people that we have influence with wherever we may go or wherever we may live, Lord, that we would be reflectors of the light of your glory to the people in a dark world. Now, Lord, we realize, too, some of our number may be hindered today due to illness, struggles that they may be facing. We know, Lord, there are hearts that are filled with grief, some that may be angry today, Lord, some that may be lazy. There could be all types of emotions that are prevalent in relationships today. But now, Lord, for this worship hour, I pray that we lay those aside and let your word speak to our hearts. Lord, thank you for the love that you show us, and may you be pleased in what takes place here from the hearts of the people at Fruitland Baptist Church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Sorry about that. Go ahead and stand up again. We have a good exercise program here. And on that basis, because of the fact that We know that we have a Lord that's made a promise that he will return. He's going to return in the air for the believers, first of all. Amen. You better be ready because that day could be very close. But he's also going to return to this earth to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And he's going to rule and reign right here. Christ is going to return. 204, let's sing together. Please forgive me this morning. It may be at morn when the day is awake.
Yeah. mighty rolling sea. Crying like the mountains, praise like the floods, and all creation's raised for him and me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, singing greater far than all my sins.
Thank you so much, choir. We appreciate that. And it's a pleasure, isn't it, to sing praises to the Lord. Trust you're having a good day. Again, I always want to be sure to welcome everyone. But specifically, if you're visiting with us today, we're glad you're here and trust that you'll have a good experience today in our time giving God the glory this morning at Fruitland. Anyway, as the choir goes down, if we take a look at the right side of our inner bulletin, and I believe this is also on the screen, there's a few things that aren't on here that I just want to bring to your attention. And, you know, we're kind of in the, we're in a phase of the COVID situation where we've returned to some bit of normalcy in some ways. But I want to challenge everyone that's here this morning for morning worship to also remember that an hour before morning worship starts, actually an hour and 10 minutes, we have an educational time called Sunday School. Now, Sunday school may be an old terminology, but it was started over in England because people believed that they needed more education in the Word of God. Does anyone here believe that we have that situation today? Well, I do, and that it is a valuable time, and I believe it is. If you're interested in the things of the Lord and in the Bible, we do have classes here for all ages. I believe it's a benefit that many people neglect. I just want to be a reminder today of that very thing. And it's interesting, I think, to know what other people's opinions of the Word of God are and to be able to thrash that around. And that is a forum, at least in the adult class, that is very much at your disposal. And so I invite you, and I invite you to ask others to come to Sunday school. And we also have a full program for young folks as well. So remind yourselves and maybe someone around you, hey, let's go and let's use that extra hour, and we'll give it to God for his use in our training. So I want to invite you for that. Of course, you know tonight we have our regular evening service, and that's also communion tonight on the first Sunday of the month. And, of course, communion is not an option, technically, because the Lord Jesus says, do this. Or actually, he says, this do. It's a direct command, and he wants us to remember, not only in that light enlightenment of the church gathering, but even in our own, of what he has done for us daily on Calvary's cross through his body and his blood. So that's at 6 o'clock tonight. You'll see some kitchen teams there that you may have a part in. The next Wilton Bible study will be May 13th, 6 p.m., basement of the Presbyterian Church. Women's Bible study will be May 8th. At 10 o'clock. The next deacon meeting will be May 20th at 7 p.m. And you do have a new calendar, I believe, or did have it as of last week, technically, I believe. But you want to check those things. And there is a little bit of a correction here in the pastor's thought for the week. And what this should say is life without Jesus is like mowing grass, not moving grass. Although you could insert moving in there too. Lots of work done for nothing. At great cost. And of course, I'm giving you my opinion there about what I think about mowing grass. Am I against it? No. But in my perspective, there's never much good that comes from it. It's an exercise in futility, and that's the point of what is said here. Note the names that need to be added to the birthday list, and is there anything else that we need to be aware of? Jeff?
I'd just like to thank people that have brought in supplies for the church.
Yes. That's right. You know, and I don't say this enough, and I've been criticized about this, and let me just say this. We, as a church, ought to be thankful for everyone and the contributions that everyone makes. I always have a hard time singling out people because there's many people that work behind the scenes. And, but just remember, it takes many hands to make the work take place here. So thank you, but there has been a plethora of gifts that have come in with regard to those type of needs that were listed on the board. All right, is there anything else this morning? Okay, then at this time, we're going to have a time of meditation and a prayer of thanksgiving today for the opportunity to give. There are some messages in the pipeline about giving. The Bible has a lot to say about it. It's not a subject that we should avoid. But it's a subject, though, that we ought not either to legalistically bring forth to people. And to, I'm not in favor, like they do at some churches. You'll never see me come to your house and put my arm around your shoulder and say, hey, brother or sister, how much would you pledge to give this year? Because you know what would happen if someone came to my house and they did that? I'd say, take your hand down and hit the door. Because that's between me and the Lord, right? We have a lot to be thankful for, and God's given to us abundantly. So we're going to thank him for that, and the opportunity is always there in the back. We don't pass the plates yet again, but the opportunity is there to give to the Lord through the work of Fruitland Baptist Church. And I'll tell you what, folks, I like to see things happen locally that I can have some control over or some say-so in, and that's the local church, and that's a good place to give. At least one of the good places to give back to the Lord. So with that in mind this morning, welcome again. Let's go to prayer, and we'll just have a short time of meditation before we hear, I believe, from Autumn and the girls this morning, correct? You and Kay. All right, very good. All right. Father, thanks again for a beautiful morning today. Lord, again, your sunrises and sunsets show your faithfulness every day to us. And not only do they show it to us, but they display it in all your glory. I couldn't help but notice, I believe it was last night as I drove home from down here, the beautiful pastels that you had there in those light clouds as the sun went into the horizon on the western side of things, Lord. You've done it all very well for us. Most of the time, Lord, we don't even acknowledge it. Many people have their eyes and thoughts glued to many other things, Lord, that are artificially produced by man, and we miss out on the glory of God. Lord, I know this is a prayer of thanksgiving, but it also ought to be a prayer of repentance, Lord. We've missed the mark, and it could even be, Lord, we've missed it on our giving to you, because it's all yours, and you deserve a healthy portion of that, Lord, for what you've done for us. So now, Lord, as we contemplate what to do, and Lord, as we contemplate the blessings that you've given us, may we give, as your word says, cheerfully and generously as we're led by you and as we're prospered. And Lord, thank you for this opportunity once again to do that today. Also, Lord, after we have a few moments here of introspection, I pray that you'll open our hearts. Help us, Lord, to keep our sin list caught up with you, Lord, to stay current. I know, Lord, that I struggle in those areas, but I want to have a vibrant walk with you. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me. And help us, I pray. Now, in Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Ladies, now we have a special. Okay.
to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Man. Thank you, ladies. And, you know, we know the Lord Jesus does care for us greatly. That's one regret I have, being the one that has to speak. I can't sit in the pews for a few moments and cry about those kind of things, but... You know, he cares about us and even says, I'll take more. He says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. I'll tell you what, folks, there's a lot of people in this world today that don't know where to go with their cares. They find substitutes. But Jesus is the real deal, and he does genuinely care for us. Anyway, I got to get down to business here like always. But greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and today the title of our message is The Enemy's Agenda in the Current Environment and Beyond. Now, I'm not going to keep preaching on these things. I've been led to preach a little bit again today about this, but we're going to look at other areas of Scripture as we always do. But we have to understand that we live in a day that I believe is very critical. Not that every day and every moment of our lives isn't critical, but today is very critical, and it's very critical to the believer. But I also know this, that Satan is a defeated foe, but yet he still is out prowling around trying to wreak havoc, even for believers. So it might do us some good today. We don't have a note sheet per se today, nor is it on the overhead or on the PowerPoint. But you do have a blank on the back of your bulletins, I believe, and there's really three words that you need to grasp today that will take care of everything that we're going to talk about today, and so you can jot those down. But before we start this morning, I would like to ask you to stand one more time. And I'm going to read a text that we're not even going to go into today, but that has relevance for us. And this is about the armor of God, and then remain standing. We're going to have prayer, and then we'll get down to business. By the way, I would like to have public Bible readings yet, but because there is such a plethora of versions today, I am going to read the text myself as we stand to honor the Word of God. But today our reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or strategies of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and have done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." The gospel for today from the word and hands of the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Amen. Father, we live in a day that is tumultuous. We know, Lord, that your word tells us clearly that your adversary, the devil, though he's a defeated foe, will be ravaging in his later days because he knows his time is short. Help us, Lord, to be able to contend for him. And as your servant Jude wrote in verse 3, to be able earnestly to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. I pray today, Lord, that this reminder of our armor, both the defensive and offensive weapons that we have to work with today, will be noted. And we thank you for your living word today that gives us the encouragement and the marching orders, Lord, to operate in the day which we live. Now, Lord, may you be pleased in what takes place here today. May the Spirit have free course. May he help this poor speaker today to bring across the points that you've laid upon my heart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please be seated. You know, it's interesting, before I even start, though, we never want to give Satan one bit of credit. And you know, this message has been in the works for a while. I went through a week where I suffered. Kim will tell you this too. She knows really where I'm at. Whenever we go to battle with him, we're going to have casualties in the war. But God is good, right? And he'll help us, and he has helped. But we never want to give him any credence, folks, not at all. You know, the word says in Ephesians 4:27, to give no place to the devil. So we're going to acknowledge him this morning, but we're not going to fear him, and we're not going to give him any extra publicity this morning. We're going to give our publicity to the Lord and the one who protects us, and I thank him for that today. You know, we're not alone in this. The Lord's with us, but also his angels are watching over us. Don't ever forget that. And they have power that we can't even understand in the realm which we live today. But friends in Christ, God's adversary, the devil, Satan, the fallen angel, Lucifer, is a grave threat to the souls of the unregenerate. But he's also a defeated foe of believers through the power of the blood of Christ, but a hinderer and an opponent that we face with vigilance. Meaning what? You never take your vigilance down. You don't know how Satan's going to work in a variety of things to try to reach out and trip up your heart. How he's going to be a restrictor of the way. And how he's going to create havoc in the lives of people. But 1 Peter 5:8 and 9 tell us that very thing. We're warned in Scripture. You know, the Scripture's full of warnings. The problem is, folks, it's like I said in our Sunday school class this morning with the junior high, senior high class. God's given people a lot of warnings, but the problem is people don't believe in God's judgment. Until what? Until it's too late. God forbid that that'd be the case of anyone here today. See? Because He's still, by His grace, giving us warning after warning of what's coming. Anyway, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 say this. Be sober. It's not talking here about being intoxicated, but that's a part of it. But what it means is being serious about things. Now, you know me, in given circumstances, I like to joke around a lot about a lot of things. But I don't joke around about what God has told us. Because it is a serious thing. Does that mean Christians shouldn't have fun? No, I think God wants us to have a lot of fun, and I do. But He wants us to be very serious. And this is one of the warnings that came from Peter. He says, be serious, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Folks, this is a worldwide battle, and we are not alone in it. Now, here's the thing, folks. Satan has an agenda that is multi-spectrumed. Multi-spectrumed. But it is focused on three things, I believe, in our current day. Three things. You may not agree with this. They may not be all-inclusive. But hear me out on these today, I ask. And I believe they specifically are in our current environment and the days that lie ahead for this old world. Wickedness, unchecked, as it was in the days of Noah, and will be in the return of Christ, are His desired accomplishment. Never forget that. And we know that that will come to pass. But it doesn't have to come to pass in the lives of the people here. And it will not come to pass in the lives of the believer unless we allow that to take place and give Satan the edge in our life. We are to resist him with all our might. So three words today. Here's the first one. It's the word confusion. If you jot down three words today, and maybe a few of these little points, you'll have all of it. This is the first of three words, and it's the word confusion, and it's defined as a lack of understanding and uncertainty. A lack of understanding and of uncertainty. And what it really boils down to is people struggle with knowing what is right and what is wrong. What do you think about our environment that we are in today? I think today, folks, if I can use this phraseology, things are less black and white than they've ever been. Today, things are all a shade of what? Everything is disputed. Nothing is accepted for truth. It's accepted to be truth if you think it's the truth. But even if it's objective truth, it's denied, right? I've got to get some more length on this cord. I've always needed a lot of rope. You know what they say about rope? The more rope you have, you fill in the blanks. I won't. But folks, let's look at Scripture about this today, because we can know what is right and wrong, and you've heard messages about that. It's found in the Word of God. But let's use our Bibles today, or your devices, if your Bible is on that. Let's go to Romans 2:15 to begin with this morning. Romans 2:15. Acts, Romans 2:15. And I've got to keep this light and fluffy this morning, but it is a message that has some relevance that I do think is worth thinking about. And here it is, folks. All men have a conscience that's given by God. They know the difference between right and wrong. And let me just tell you this, folks. If you wonder about that, people that are against the things of God that go out and protest that, what if they didn't think the things of God were right, they'd have nothing to protest against, right? And I'm not talking people that just go out in the streets, but people that disobey God's word. They're having to deny what is already known to them through their conscience, right? Our conscience is what? It's our inward guidance mechanism. It is not the Holy Spirit. A conscience is given to every human being, okay? The Holy Spirit is not given to all human beings. The Holy Spirit is only given to those who have placed their faith and trust in their sin under the blood of Jesus Christ for forgiveness and been born again into His family. And we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. By the way, folks, the Holy Spirit works through the conscience, though, of the believer. Don't ever neglect that. But verse 15, well, let's see what else I wanted to write here. In other words, God's laws are written in our hearts. But you have to remember, folks, because we are under free will, that our thoughts and our actions govern our choices. We can deny the conscience, and Christians, we can even deny the Holy Spirit. And when we fail to listen to the Holy Spirit, it's our consciences are seared with a hot iron. The Word of God does not penetrate. We can reject the teaching of the Spirit to our own detriment. And many of us have, many times. I'm there in that camp. But here it is, folks, just to touch base with this, Romans 2:15 says this, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. If you go back to the verse preceding this, he's talking about the Gentiles. Well, I better just go back there. For when the Gentiles, or the non-believers, those who were not of the Jews, who were God's chosen people by faith, again, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. In other words, every person, Jew or non-Jew, knows God's law because it's implanted in our conscience. And Paul goes on to say here in 15, he says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, or the means, while accusing or else excusing one another. So just what I told you here earlier, we have the right to do what? To conform to God's laws that are written in our conscience, or delivered through the Holy Spirit, to either receive them and obey them, or to reject them and to disobey. And folks, that's where we stand as humans. But let me ask you, folks, don't we need to search for something right? Because even people that believe things that are not what God says have a conviction about what they believe, right? But we better be very careful about what we believe to know that it is indeed truth. I believe, again, and I'm not preaching that this morning, but this book is a source, is the source of truth. Romans 1:21, turn back just a little bit. Maybe it's even on the same page. It's not in my Bible this morning. But here's the problem, folks. Romans 1:21, and by the way, Romans 1 is a great chapter to read about the current environment. Paul writes, because that when they knew God, or knew him in their conscience, they what? They glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. By the way, people today that are against God are some of the most unthankful people you'll ever find. They're not thankful for anything. If you have a heart like that today, you better watch out. Satan's using it, because we have a lot to be thankful for. But they became vain or futile, you can insert that word, in their imaginations. By the way, imaginations are a dangerous thing. Amen? Because imaginations, while we play, you know, you might say with a kid, they have a great imagination. You know, I had an imagination when I was a kid. I had two imaginary friends, Deeger and Krieger. Where I ever came up with that, I don't know. I think it happened, though, maybe. You know, I was known from a very small child of having a wrench or a pair of pliers with a tricycle jacked up working on it under it. Woodrow, does that still fit me today? But the tricycle fell and hit me in the head one time. I think I still have a scar up there somewhere from that. But anyway, you know what I'm getting at here today. But they became futile or vain in their imaginations and their wrong thinking, and their foolish heart was darkened. And that's the key right there, what happens, folks. We all believe something, but we don't necessarily believe the right things. That's where our world is today. Now, go to Proverbs 17:15. Proverbs 17:15. And yes, we got to keep rolling here. Proverbs 17:15. This is an interesting verse. I don't know if you've run into this before in your studies. Here it is. Proverbs 17:15. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. Doesn't that hit home? God's not in favor of that, folks. He wants us to seek genuine truth. And then, folks, just another verse. And these are not all inclusive when we're thinking about our adversary Satan. But 1 Corinthians 14:33. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of, there's our word, isn't it, in this first point, confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. You know what? People that are confused never have any peace. The Bible describes them as like rolling waves in the sea. They're never able to be still and know that He is God. Isn't that something? But notice here, who is the author of confusion? It's not God. God doesn't mess around with stuff like that. He doesn't play hocus pocus with people. He tells us straight. He's straightforward, and He is truth. But never forget in this first point that Satan is behind confusion. Folks, he's behind what's going on today in our world because people are confused. Now, let me just give you a few things before we go to the second point here today. We live in a time of great confusion about God. I hear things all the time about what God supposedly endorses or doesn't endorse, but it never lines up with the Scriptures. You see, the problem is with people is when they're confused, they bend the Scriptures to fit their ideas rather than bending their ideas to fit God's. We live in a day like that, folks. You know, there's really not that many churches left anymore. Oh, there's places that do have signs that say they're a church. By the way, the church is what? It's the word ekklesia in the Greek. It's the called out ones. It's the believers that have been called to salvation by God. But there's not many churches today that want to preach the Word of God and let it fall as it may, as truth. They've all tinkered with it. Why do you think we have so many denominations? By the way, yes, I have Baptist convictions, but do you hear me preaching about Baptists from the pulpit here very often? What do I preach about? Bible-believing Christians. We can go into all that, but not today. Also, I've been told to stop talking about food in the service, so I will. We live in a time of confusion, great confusion about sin and what it is. We live in a great time of confusion about people regarding their ethnicity, but what some people call races. I call races what you go to at West Liberty or Columbus Junction or wherever Lynn, where's Lynn go down to? The Junction? Okay. Wasn't he going down to the Knoxville, wasn't he? Sprint car capital of the world, Knoxville, whatever, yeah. You don't even know what a sprint car is. We don't have time this morning. The government. About ourselves. People today don't know what gender. Folks, I can help you with that. I mentioned truth already. Most people, if you really ask them, they say, I don't know what to believe. There's so much stuff out there today. But folks, be assured, confusion is on Satan's agenda for this world. He is the father of lies. Look at John 8:44. Don't go there unless you want to. And confusion, my friends, leads to destruction. If you go over to the book of Revelation, chapter 9:11, quickly. Revelation 9:11. We find the following. This is in reference to Satan. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. Or you could, I've changed that a little bit. Don't get on me about that. A bad one. That's Satan. He's a bad one. But Abaddon, what's that mean? Abaddon means destruction. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. That means destroyer. That's Satan. His key and his desire is destruction. Destroyer is Apollyon, Abaddon is destruction. Just so we're straight on that. So there it is, folks. The Word of God is the source of truth. Objectionally, for your epistemology. I like to use some big words once in a while. Epistemology means your truth source. The Word of God is the objective source for us to develop a truth source, because it claims to be the truth and it cannot be refuted successfully. Successfully. By the way, in addition to that, I said I had to keep this light this morning. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word lights our way and keeps us from stumbling, keeps us from being confused in the darkness. Enough said, right? Anyone want to go further on that first word? Confusion. Everyone agree with that? Second word, delusion. Delusion. The definition of delusion is a mental disorder. You know, there used to be other things that were classified as a mental disorder, but now they're classified as being A-OK. Not going to go any further on that today. But delusion is still defined as a mental disorder. It's called wrong thinking. Faulty thinking. Something believed that is contradicted by evidence to the contrary. Boy, haven't I struggled with that over the years. Most of the time, the answers that I need for things are where? Well, that, but they're right in front of me, yeah. I admit it to you folks, I don't know why, but I've been struggling lately with stuff like that. I can lay something down 1 minute and can't find it. I can take something apart, can't remember how it went back together. I don't know. But I know this, that just because I think something is wrong doesn't mean it's wrong. I have to go to a source that supersedes my faulty thinking, right? Delusion. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Back to 2 Corinthians 11, 14 through 15. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 through 15. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 through 15. By the way, that does help to repeat things. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 through 15. Paul's lecturing the Corinthians here about false teachers, false apostles to be exact, deceitful workers that transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. Verse 14, and no marvel, Paul says, for what? Satan himself is transformed into what? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Paul warns us right there. He says what? There's a lot of stuff out there, again, that are sent to delude us. We have wrong thinking. It looks like the right thing, but it's exactly what? It's exactly wrong. Realize this. Let's go back to Matthew 24, 24. Matthew 24, 24. We're talking about the tribulation period here. Matthew 24, 24. As soon as I get turned here. Here's what Jesus says about the period of time before he returns to set up his kingdom here on the earth. He says, for there shall arise what? False Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, the very chosen of God. That's a powerful thing, isn't it? Folks, we're moving toward that season. And I'm telling you, that's where we're at today. There is a lot of stuff out there that even the very elect are deceived about. That is the day that we live in. We are very deceived by Satan's delusion. That's the point that I want to make. Again, I could talk about a lot of things here today, but let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 12 real quickly. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 12. I just want to give you one more here, and you could find many in the Bible. You could preach multiple sermons on this topic. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 12. Now, I believe this passage here is talking again about the tribulation period and what's going to take place during that time and what's going to be, again, an age of delusion. Massive delusion to many people. And we see the precursor of that today. And what Paul's talking about here, he's talking to the Thessalonians about the Antichrist, that character that's going to be set up at the behest of Satan, again, that's going to be placed in power to control this world. And we talk a lot about the things that are progressing towards one world government, and many of those things are right in our midst today. But let's just look at this a little bit. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. In other words, the Antichrist, Satan's agenda, and his people are no match for Jesus. Did you see that? He's going to destroy them with the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. I had this written earlier and I didn't use it, but Satan has a bag of tricks like you wouldn't believe. He's a master of delusion. It's like a magician. A magician, and I'm no expert at this, but a magician wants to keep you focused when they're performing their act, and by the way, it is an act. You do not saw with a saw through a case that a human being is in and see the person come out in one piece. Because that's truth, right? But you know, you all know there's a trap door under that. But what they're doing is they're keeping you busy with one hand while another thing is moving in another direction that you don't look at. And you miss it because you've been deluded. See? You've been tricked. That's how Satan operates. But back to this passage. He says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Folks, if you have heard the gospel in the age of grace, which we're in today, and you reject that gospel, and you go into that tribulation period, and the gospel's going to be preached then too, and I believe this, at the behest of the 144,000 evangelists, the saved people that are drawn out of Israel. But there's going to be people saved in the tribulation. But don't be tricked by the trickster. If you heard the gospel today and you rejected it, and we go into this period of deception again, you're going to be stuck in your deception. By the way, who do you blame for that first? Always go to the mirror. You blame yourself. But now I'm going to throw something into this too, so you know the truth about God. And why this is such an important thing to not be under delusion about, but to glean from what the Word says. And here it is, verse 11. And for this cause, and folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't understand everything about God, and I don't understand everything about what He says in His Word. But I will tell you this, I'm going to accept what He says for what it says. And God has every right today to do whatever He wants. And I am going to tell you today on the basis of the Word of God that God is fair and God is just. Because He needs to please no one but Himself. Our justice and our concept of fairness has no relevance. Did you hear me on that? Because hear me, God can do whatever He wants to do, but here's what He's going to do according to the Word of God. But for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And we say, how could you do that, Lord, as a loving God? And then I think, oh, Lord, you've been warning mankind about all these things now for about 6,000 plus years. And yet people are going to walk. Maybe, I hope no one walks out of here today for that reason. But people on the street are going to say, God's not very good. I don't believe in any God that throws someone into hell. Well, God never threw anyone into hell. People put themselves there. He says He's not willing that any should perish, but that they turn around, that they repent, come back to Him. That's the truth of the Word of God. But understand that Satan wants people to believe. You know, one of the big things that Satan gives to people, he says there's second, third chances. The Bible doesn't teach that, folks. The Bible does teach, if you want to use that terminology, chances. I'll use the word opportunities. But not one of us in this room, young or old, could say we haven't had multiple opportunities to get it right with God. Amen? We better not be fooling around in this current environment. But that's exactly what Satan's deluded people into doing. They're out in our streets tearing them up. People are out all over the place tearing everything up in the behest of Satan. They're not listening to any of this, folks. But here it is, what God says through Paul. He says that they all might be damned or judged, convicted, who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know why people don't want to get saved today? Two things, basically. They either don't believe it, or they're not ready to what? To receive it. And why are they not willing to receive it? Because they say, not yet, I still want to have what? They call it fun. But they're not ready to have the joy, the peace, and all the things that come with a walk with Jesus Christ. They're still interested in all the rest of this garbage that Satan has what? Given them in their delusional thinking. Well, folks, we could go on here. But let me tell you just a few things. Delusional thinking and operation are Satan's agenda in our current day and beyond. Do you agree with me on that today? And folks, we make the mistake of not being filled with the Spirit and letting Satan delude our minds. But here's just a few things, folks. Communism, Marxism, Leninism, social giveaways, sinful practices of all kinds, humanism, evolutionism, guaranteed income. How many would like to see that happen in America? Well, you're all looking at me and saying, well, Pastor, you're one of those guys that gets paid for doing nothing. Equality. You can go to Kingdom Come, you will never find equality on this side of eternity. But you know what? We're all equal at the foot of the cross of Christ, aren't we? Amen. Needy. Amen. And blessed once we've received it. And you can go right down through the modern day things that are going on, much, much more. But folks, people are under delusional thinking. And that's going to be one of the ways that Satan operates. Third point, we're down to a few minutes. Seclusion. Confusion, delusion, and seclusion. And you're saying, well, John, you crazy guy, what are you talking about here? It's good to get away from things. Yes, it is. But that's not what I mean in this point. Because again, the title of this message is Satan's Agenda in the Current Environment and Beyond. Okay, seclusion of God and His people. You're saying, oh, that sounds wonderful, Pastor. You know what? I am going to preach a couple sermons coming up just for folks that like to hear 3 points in a poem. And maybe we could have a nice bouquet. I like that too. But there's a lot of things we need to be talking about. But folks, here's what it is. You've heard me preach on this before, but I really believe this is His agenda. It's to remove Christians and Christianity under the guise of inclusion. I said seclusion, but the key word today is inclusion. Can't we just all get along? Can't we all be together? Yeah, but there's one group that's excluded, folks. It's Bible-believing Christians. It's inclusion to all but God's people from the public forum and more. Now, we got to roll through this quickly. But let me just remind you, God's people have been attacked throughout history. You want me to go into all that this morning?
Well, can you say that again? Seclusion and remove Christians by what?
Let's see here. Remove Christians and Christianity under the guise of inclusion to all but God's people from the public forum and more. Okay? You can come up and look at them later, Lisa, if you want the notes.
Yeah.
My notes are published, are public. And I'm not like you, most of the radio preachers that say, send your tithes and offerings. We'll provide a copy of this sermon for a nominal fee. But the problem is you have to have deciphering. Right, Deb Wheeler? Seriously, though, you can listen on the website, too, and pick all this up. Then you can replay it. Anyway, God's people have been attacked through history. You know it. 2 Timothy 3:12. Don't go there. But all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. John 15:18-20. Let's go there. John 15:18-20. That's big John. For, you know, not first John, but John. John 15:18-20. If someone's there before me, read it. Yep. That's good. That's good enough. What can we expect? If Jesus was hated, we're going to be hated as his disciples, his children, his people. And Matthew 5:10-12. Matthew 5:10-12. And I'm giving just a few, but you get the idea, right? Matthew 5, you shouldn't be surprised by what's going to come and what is going on right now. Matthew 5:10-12 says, blessed are they which are for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. That word falsely is important there, for my sake. And then he says what? This is Jesus. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Folks, we're not the first ones to encounter what we're going to encounter, what we are encountering. So buck it up. And 1 Peter 4:12-14. 1 Peter 12, if someone can beat me, if you got your device. I may go to using the device. I don't know, though. 1 Peter 4:12-14. 12-14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the what? The fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Oh, I didn't know this would get like this, Lord. I heard the prosperity gospel. It said it's going to get better and better. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. We're walking in the same path of Jesus and his people. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. By the way, that's some assurance. You take a little heat for Jesus, you know you're walking with his Spirit. Amen? On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. And much more. Seclusion and persecution of God's people are on Satan's agenda. Now the end of the message, the conclusion. While this morning is a warning, God also has his agenda. God also has his agenda. Yeah. And let me tell you, folks, it will prevail. It will prevail. We just got a couple more turns here to make. John 16:33. John 16:33. John 16:33 says, again from Jesus, these things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. You see, even though we live in a world of turmoil, God's people can have peace. Peace is a very valuable commodity in our day. But he says, in the world, you're going to have what? Trouble. Tribulation. But be of good cheer, because my agenda is what? I've overcome the world. Psalm 105, and you could really throw the whole old Psalm 100 in there. Psalm 105. Whoop, I got to get back a little further. There's days I can quote this with perfect. Today's not one of them. Psalm 100, verse 5. And again, the whole Bible's filled with this. I'm just giving you a few things here. For the Lord is good. God is good all the time. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth, or in other words, it hangs in there to all generations. And then back to 1 John. 1 John 2:24, and we're almost done. 1 John comes before 2 John. 1 John 2:24. 1 John 2:24. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised unto us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Like what we talked about this morning. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. We are safe in Jesus Christ. Amen. What he has ordained is a done deal, and has been since the foundation of the world. He's not going to change. Satan may try to seclude us, but Jesus will never what? He'll never abandon us. And we can take that to the bank. You could go with a lot more things here. Just think of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten or unique Son, the God-man, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The scriptures are loaded with done deals before God. Now I'm serious. This is a conclusion. Can you handle it for one more paragraph?
Yes.
Now you have been reminded, at least in part, of the enemy's agenda. In the current environment and beyond, the Bible and history confirm that for most, they have followed Satan's bag of tricks. Do you ever think about that? Jesus said, didn't he? He said, straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leads to life everlasting, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. Folks, maybe there's people here this morning that are still making that choice. Or maybe you're struggling. Maybe you chose the straight and narrow way, but you're still saying, it's too hard, I'm going to give up. You know, there's times I could give up. And I know there's times that you could. But I pray that we'll endure with God's grace, that we'll help one another in the days we live in. But the Bible and history confirm that very thing, that people have bought into Satan's tricks and they're headed for destruction. So I ask you today in closing, what's on your agenda today and in the future? You're saying, well, if you'd be quiet, John, we'd go have lunch.
No.
But you know what? Maybe there's more important things that ought to be on our agendas today. Maybe we ought to take time and take care of those things, maybe even before we leave this place. Realize this today. Satan's even alive in the churches. But there are friends of the Lord Jesus Christ here who are willing to help you and come alongside you that still love God and love people. This is a great day. May 2nd, 2021. Amen. To have peace when you leave these doors. Amen. About what lies ahead in our future and also today. God's way through Christ, though, in closing, is a sure thing. Amen. I'm done. Let's stand if you're able. 619 in the hymnal, or it's on the screen. Stand up for Jesus. I hope that when you stand today, that is your motive, to be reminded. You know, that's something we can think about every time we stand up. How many times do we stand up in a day? And be thankful that we're able to stand, right? Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. Verse 1, you come today if there's a need, God will fill it. But today, thank God that he has given us truth and that we can operate in this world that we encounter today. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. Suffer. Let's stand together and let's keep watching out how Jesus is going to see us through the day we live and what's yet to come in the future. Today, Doug, I'm going to ask you to close in prayer. I hope you have a good afternoon. You've been a great audience. Again, if you have a need at any time, you speak a word to me. I'll take time. We'll look into the Word and we'll fellowship, see what it has to say.